scleroderma. What the heck is that? I didn't know either and could barely spell it when I tried to search it up on Google. Scleroderma, a group of rare diseases that involve the hardening and tightening of the skin and connective tissues. To someone living with this, it is so much more than that. Sylvia has been living with this disease for the past 12 years, and today she's going to get into what her life has been like ever since her diagnosis. Before we dive deep with Sylvia, I want to tell you a little something about her. She's a badass bitch. She doesn't let this disease prevent her from living her best life possible. She's an advocate for others living with autoimmune disease and is committed to helping them take control of their lives. Sylvia truly inspires me, and I look forward to giving her this platform to talk about how this has changed her life and the lives of those around her. Sylvia, thank you so much for being my very, very first guest on Anything But Simple Talk with Simply Susielicious. I could not think of a better person to be my very first guest because, first of all, you're nothing close to simple and you have something to say. So let's get started. Now, I did briefly describe what scleroderma is in my intro about you, but can you tell me, can you like dumb it down for us people who don't understand the technical terms?
Okay. So first of all, I'm honored that you asked me to be your first guest. I love you so much. Dumb it down. So let's dumb down scleroderma. Scleroderma is a connective tissue disorder. So basically, your organs have this tissue around it that kind of, it's like the oil for the engine. And that's what kind of keeps your organs moving and working. And when the tissue becomes hard, everything just kind of stops or collapses. So that's kind of what the type of scleroderma I have does. And associated with that is also Raynaud's, which is bad circulation to the extremities, which basically your tips, so the tips of your fingers, your elbows, your nose, your toes, doesn't get enough circulation. So then over time, you get digital ulcers, which is probably like the worst pain I've experienced in my life. And then there's the hardening because the skin does have tissues. So there's the hardening of the skin tissues, and they call it like the human statue disease. So when you're able to like move your skin and stuff, imagine your skin just being so, you know, when your skin's really dry and cracked, like imagine that a million times worse, where, you know, you move your arm a little bit and then your skin cracks and then you have, you know, cracked skin that can't heal. So that's just kind of like a quick briefing of what scleroderma is.
Yeah, that sounds awful and totally intense. And I wanted to just quickly talk quickly about when we reconnected. We saw each other at the mall. We had known each other for a long time. And we saw each other at the mall after kind of like losing touch. And you looked great. And I remember being like, oh my God, so nice to see you. You look amazing. And you're like, I have scleroderma. Like you just said it. And I was like, oh, and the way you said it, because it was right after I said you looked so great. I felt like it was like you got something done because you look amazing to me. And I remember trying to remember the words. I kept saying it in my mind. I wanted to Google it or tell my husband and be like, what is this thing that she got done? She looks fantastic. It took me a while to learn.
So, yeah. And I think that's like, I call them scleral perks. I think that's the thing about scleroderma is because the tightening of the skin in your face, we age well. And there's this, I call it the J-Lo glow that we get. So because our skin is so tight, we have this like shine to it and then no wrinkles. And then obviously our face changes a little bit too, because it's more, I guess, skeletal. So maybe my cheekbones were like, I don't know, I used to have like a chubbier face. So yeah, there are some changes that I call scleral perks, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll never forget seeing you and how good you looked. And then now, all these years later, feeling like crap, being like, you didn't feel good. But to somebody who doesn't know, you look amazing. Right?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about when you got diagnosed. Can you walk me through when you found out and exactly how you felt?
So I was a mom for the first time, and it was about 3 months after I had my daughter, Kiara. I was experiencing the Raynaud's, which is, I've had it for a while in my teens, the bad circulation in my fingers. And I think it just got progressively worse where my joints were like just the inflammation all over my body and my joints. And then I didn't feel myself. And I just chalked it up as being, you know, hormonal. And after having a baby, my body went through so much change. I gained like 100 pounds when I was pregnant. Like I was about 215 pounds. So I thought, okay, I did a lot to my body. It could have been that. And then, you know, one of my sisters was following along like with all my symptoms, my internet doctor sister, and she was telling me for years, you have lupus. So then I went to go get my ANA tested, and I begged my doctor to test my ANA, and then it came back positive. And then, so it can be like autoimmune ANA positive. So let's determine what it is. Is it lupus? Is it scleroderma? And then it came back positive for systemic scleroderma. So then I just kind of took it from there. And, you know, when you Google something like that, obviously you get the worst of the worst. And the thing with scleroderma is it's so, there's like such a broad spectrum when you have scleroderma, and everyone suffers from it so differently, that I was kind of able to detach myself for a little while and be like, well, I'm not that, or I don't have that. And then I'm not going to Google that anymore and listen to what my doctors say. But then there's like a fine line between listening to what your doctors have to say and then listening to your body and making sure you stay on top of what you're feeling and what the symptoms are, because it can progress. It can get worse.
Absolutely. So then when you found out that you had and you Googled it, what was the next step? Did you have to see a specialist? Did you see a therapist even? Like, I feel like when you get a diagnosis of something like this, like you kind of need that guidance, right? You probably didn't think about it at the time, but would it have been useful if you didn't use it?
I think then, because, you know, I wasn't active on social media. It was, you know, kind of just starting out, and I had my first child and life was already so different for me. I kind of just wanted to be a mom. I kind of went into denial. I think looking back, if I had what I have now and what I kind of provide for others, I would have loved that. But in the beginning, it was, oh, you need to see a rheumatologist. Okay, what's a rheumatologist? So then I'd go to a rheumatologist and they'd be like, I specialize in rheumatology, but not scleroderma. So you're kind of my first. Okay. And then I didn't feel comfortable with that. Yeah. So then I ran into some complications with my first digital ulcer getting infected. And basically my finger was self-amputating. So I actually, you know, was threatened even when I'd go and emerge to be put on a form in a psych ward, because I was threatening to cut my own finger off because I was in so much pain. And there was these hospitals where I was living that had no idea what, they're like, you have a cut on your finger, but it wasn't a cut on my finger. So I think over that year, that span, I went through so many rheumatologists and then finally found a scleroderma specialist and then a hospital that specializes in scleroderma, and kind of started my journey. But it took a lot. Like, it took a lot for me to get there, and a lot of agony and emergency rooms and, you know, missing out on my daughter's first year, pretty much.
That sounds terrible. That sounds so terrible. And it's like, it's supposed to be such a happy time. Your first time having a baby. And I can't imagine how you must have felt in all of that. And to have a disease, it's not like, not to say that it's better to have a disease that is more known, but when it's something that you can't even find someone who understands, you go to the hospital for help and they're like, it's just a cut, when you know it's so much more than that. And you're a tough girl. Like, I could see.
Like, I was just going to say, you know how I am. So you probably understand why I got those threats to be put on a form, because I definitely, I didn't tolerate their bullshit, like, at all. Especially when I'm in pain and when you're not sleeping, I was just at the end. But to the end where, yeah, I was advocating at first, but then I was kind of falling into that mental state of, I can't do this anymore. I need relief. And if I can't get relief, I'd rather die. Like, that's how bad the pain got.
Exactly. See, that's why having that mental support, emotional support, what people can find in you now, because not everyone is as tough as you. You advocated for yourself in the hospital, but some people, they just stay quiet and say, sure, yes, whatever you say, doctor. And they trust other people. You advocated for yourself, and that's why you are where you are now. And
yeah, or they take the pills they think they're supposed to take. And I think it was because I had, you know, had listened to my body after so many years where I was like, I don't think this is helping. So then let me, you know, have enough nerve to say, okay, doctor, let me get off of this and see what happens. And in fact, some improvements were shown coming off of that certain medication. So, you know, it's a lot of trial and error and ups and downs.
Yeah. And I know you just came back from a recent infusion, right? Like you just had a hospital visit. What does treatment look like for you now that you've kind of figured out what works?
So right now I do Eloprost, which is a version of the treatment I was doing in the past, except it runs for 6 to 8 hours, and it's a day thing. So that's a lot better because before the medicine would have to run for 72 hours. So I was in the hospital for about 4 days straight, and that was a lot on my body and, you know, being away from my family. So now just because the hospital so far, it is still an overnight, like I stay with family in London, but it's stronger than the drug, but at the same time, I can tolerate it better because I don't think it's running in my body for so long. So I leave my house at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's a 2 hour drive. I get there around 7:30, and then I pack my cooler full of like fruits and, you know, drinks. And I don't really eat too much when I'm doing my infusion. And then that's it. They connect me. I turn on Netflix and just chill for that time. And then throughout that time, I am given some pain medications and stuff for the itching and stuff for the nausea. So then that does take a toll after 2 days of doing the treatment where I come home and my body kind of just needs some time to like detox.
And do you find it's helping?
It definitely helps. Right now, I still have an ulcer, an active ulcer on my finger. And that active ulcer means when the ulcer is like opened up and still not completely closed and healed. So I've had this particular ulcer for almost 2 years where it will kind of almost heal and then crack open again. And I think I'm at the end of it and then it'll break open again. And really what it's trying to do is self-amputate. And until it gets to a point of reaching circulation, I'm going to have to go through these infusions. So I found that this last infusion that I did 2 days ago, I don't have to apply, like usually Polysporin is like my sidekick. It's like every 20 minutes I'm like putting Polysporin or biting my finger. So I was able to actually go through the night, and I only woke up, I think, twice to apply the Polysporin. And that kind of usually shows me like how it's healing and how the pain is. It's more surface as opposed to like right at the nerve. So that does make a huge difference.
I know you said that you were threatening to cut off your finger, but do you ever talk to your doctor openly and be like, okay, can we cut this off? When will this make it better?
So not only did I talk to my doctor and do I mention it every time, I talked to several doctors within Canada. And then I did go for a second opinion to Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, which is like a scleroderma hospital. So I did reach out to them again after seeing them 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I think it was. And I said, look, this is a situation. This stupid finger will not heal. Can you guys just cut it off? I'll pay you. Like, I'll do whatever. Just cut the damn thing off. Just the tip. Just cut off the tip. And even that doctor was like, I agree with what they're saying. The risk of us cutting off a finger that hasn't reached the point of like basically dead, where it's black, like almost like frostbite, where there's no circulation left, that's when they'll agree to cut it off. Because the risk of it healing, or the risk of what happens once the stub, what if the stub ends up getting infected, then how far off do we have to cut every so many years until they have to like keep going up, 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 right?
Yeah.
So I kind of weigh it out. And on those days, I'm like, okay, makes sense. But then I have other days where I'm like, I don't care. I need some, at least give me a year of relief, right?
Absolutely. So would it be safe to say that you are in pain all day, every day?
Chronic pain exists in my life all day, every day. There's levels of pain. And then there's, you know, bedridden. So it's just, I just do like a self-check and see what I can do and how I can push through. And also a big thing too is fatigue. Like you see me right now, I look good because I put on makeup, cute shirt, whatever. But like I was struggling today. Like it's the fatigue too, where, you know, most people feel tired, you know, like in their day to day, but it's like more tired than normal. So, you know, it's either giving into the fatigue and resting, or you know, just pushing through. Today I was able to push through. Some days I'm not.
Yeah, you're a tough cookie, that's for sure. And I always wonder this, okay? When you're living with this and you have a friend or you have somebody who's like not feeling well, or like me for the other day, I'm complaining about really bad menstrual cramps and they're really bad for me, but I'm sure they don't compare to what you go through and the pain you go through. Do you ever get annoyed when you hear people complain about stuff like that, where you're like, you have no fucking idea what you're talking about. You don't know real pain. You know, do you ever feel like that? You could be honest.
When I'm bitter, I definitely have those moments where like, where, you know, my ulcer was so bad at one point, I couldn't hear anything. Like, I was just like, I don't care about anyone else. This is what I'm dealing with. But then for the most part, even for you, like, everybody has a level of pain that they're used to, that they can tolerate or they can't tolerate. So what's painful to me, no, won't be painful to you. But what do you have to compare it to? Just like, what does the next person have to compare it to? Obviously, I laugh when it's specifically like a finger where somebody's complaining about getting their nails done or how bad they have a hangnail or a paper cut. I'll laugh to myself because that just hits too close to home, because I'm just like, oh my God. But I mean, I usually make a joke out of that and laugh about it, right? It is true, but you can't, like, again, like, just like life circumstances, people have had like super crappy lives and pushed through and are inspirational, and some people have had normal lives and are still, you know, inspiring others in their own way.
That's good. That makes me feel a little bit better, because in the back of my mind, I'm talking about it on my Instagram and I'm like, what do I have to complain about? I see all these people suffering way more than me. So thanks for making me feel a little better. I will never complain about a paper cut.
I find that it doesn't, like, I do that, like, with other people who have scleroderma, some days that works where I'm like, shit, like, there's people, and it's just a fact, they're way worse off than me. You know, they have lung involvement. They're on oxygen. They're in hospitals. They can't move their arms or legs, or they're in a wheelchair. And yeah, like, some days I'm like thankful and grateful and whatever. And then some days I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? I'm in freaking pain and I haven't slept. So, oh, well, like, pain is pain.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're only human.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have three kids. So I don't know how you do it. You have three kids and they're a handful. They're amazing, but they're a handful for sure, because kids are hard. How do you feel like this has affected their lives?
I think they've had to grow up a lot faster than most kids who don't, you know, see their mom in pain. I think my daughter has had to take on more responsibility, when, especially when I was in the hospital for 3, 4, or 5 days sometimes, consecutively, where I would be like, yes, I do. I'm lucky enough where I have a big family. My mom's here. She'll stay here and help. You know, my husband doesn't work as much in the winters. He's not as busy, but having your mom is having your mom. And like, I think, you know, I would put on to her to like, look out for your brothers, do well in school, make sure your homework's done. And then, you know, I'd picture them while I was sitting there in the hospital bed. Oh, they're having lunch at school. I wonder what they're thinking. I wonder if they miss me. Like, they have to think about their mom being in the hospital, or the unpredictability before I had the arrangement made where the hospital was on schedule and I'd go in for those set dates. A lot of the time it was impulsive. It was, oh, my finger's infected. I'm going to the hospital. They come home from school. I'm not home. Where's mom? She's in the hospital. And I didn't even get that, you know, chance to let them know or to fill them in. So they've had to definitely grow up a lot faster and adjust to the unpredictability of everyday life.
And you know what? They're really, really smart kids, and they're advocates in their own right too. Like, they understand what scleroderma is. They're strong-willed, like you and Flav together are very strong-willed. So they got that from you, and they advocate for you and for what you're going through, which I think is really, really special too, because they're learning from you and they're seeing how strong you are too.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I'm doing the best I can in the end. And there's mom guilt. There's mom guilt at least once a day.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, certain things, like, now, like, fine, it's summer. Mom can go in the pool, but then, you know, we're going to the cottage. I can't go in the lake water. It's freezing cold. So still feeling those restrictions, or, you know, wanting to do other things with them that I can, or other activities. But, you know, we find our own, right? We find our own ways to have those moments with one another.
And I'm sure this...
And then some days...
Pardon?
I think some days too, like, I'm freaking human. Like, go on your devices and let me watch Netflix and chill. Like, that's totally okay too.
Yes, everybody needs to do that. My kids get a YouTube time half an hour a day. Sometimes it's more than half an hour if I'm not feeling well or I'm not up for it. We have to do what we have to do. We're in survival mode.
Yeah.
As, totally. And then what I was going to say was with COVID, how has the, like having scleroderma, having your kids at, like, how has this made it better or worse for you?
Okay. In the beginning, it was finding new treatment completely. So it was readjusting to a new hospital, new specialist, new everything, because I wasn't able to get the treatment at the hospital that I was normally going to because it was just packed with COVID cases or whatever was going on there. So again, I had to kind of like advocate for myself and get the treatment that I needed. And then everything happens for a reason. I strongly believe that it was a little bit of a shit show in the beginning, but then I found this hospital and I love my doctor, my nurses, my specialists. I love where I'm at right now. Then I got really sick with GI, and I'm not sure if it was because of the time of the year or just always being home and feeling, you know, the mental effects of what was going on that was weighing in on me too. Like, I wasn't doing the things that spiritually and mentally were helping me because I kind of just had to go into autopilot for survival mode. So it just kind of made everything, even the physical aspect of me, just kind of fall apart. But the good is that we all had time to sit in it and figure out a new version of ourselves, I think. And even with my daughter, connecting with her and talking to her about, you know, parts of my life and what we need to do, right? I think there was more time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever thought about keeping a journal about, I know you're open, honest and everything, but there's always a few things that you keep to ourselves. Have you ever thought about like keeping a journal that maybe one day you can give to them when they're much older and they can know the true, like deep down stuff that you don't ever tell anyone about? Or if worst case scenario, you burn it.
Yeah. Like, so I keep a journal. Like, I haven't journaled in at least a few months. And I keep a journal and I kind of have to tell myself, nobody's going to see this, feel like read this, whatever, just so that I could be as real and raw as possible. And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know me, I'm all or nothing. So eventually one day, if my kids, that's going to be, if I think about, oh, this journal will be for them one day, I think I'll fabricate things. So whatever I put in, I write a lot. So whenever I put in the journals, whatever I put, it's just kind of right now for the here and now for me, for my healing. And then when I write and release, that's totally separate because then I burn it.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy. That shit I have to burn.
Yeah, 100%. There's only so much. And you know what? You're right. Because when you write to your kids, no matter how honest you're trying to be, if you have them in the back of your mind, you're going to try to find a lesson in it. Or you're going to want to try to find like the bright side of it. And the truth is, when you're an adult, you realize there isn't always a lesson. There isn't always a bright side. And kind of don't want to, you want them to figure that out on their own, right?
Exactly.
So tell me, what do you miss the most about your life before scleroderma?
Oh, God. I think what I miss the most is
you could,
my appetite.
Yeah, I was going to say you could be vain if you want, say nails and all that.
Oh, I was going to say nails are next. Nails and lips are next. Let's not
okay,
lie,
good.
But I love eating and drinking and yeah, I was a little heavier, but totally worth it because I enjoyed food. So there's ups and downs for me. Right now, I'm kind of like at the lower level of enjoying food, which kind of sucks because it's summer and I like to have my beers and stuff like that. But I miss that gusto that I used to have with food, that relationship. And not having to really worry about what I eat. Yeah, I eat healthy, blah, blah, blah. But you know, overindulging in junk food or stuff like that, where now I'm like, do I really want that? Because I'm really going to feel like shit tomorrow or whatever. I'm going to pay for it after. And then, of course, yeah, like I'm loving these meal trends right now. And people are paying good money for big lifts where I didn't have to even That's it. I had them, you know? I look back on my wedding pictures and I'm like, oh my God, look at my nail. I had my nails done.
I know.
But I mean, whatever.
I know. I remember your big lips. I remember when I met you, I thought they were fake. Because at that time, I didn't know many people who did. I was like, oh, she's the first one. She's the first person I met who has fake lips. But no, they were just beautiful. But they still are. And you know what? What has not changed every time I look at you is your smile. Big lips or not, your smile is still like there. It's still you. And so are your eyes. You know, that's you.
I mean, I hope so. I think when you're authentically like happy and smiling and stuff, no matter what, it can't be, you can't fake that, you know, but my kids do have them.
They do. They live on. Your lips live on.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. And I know now you are obviously an advocate, a warrior, but how did you decide? Like, when was the moment that you're like, you know what? I can't just live in pity of myself or suffering. I need to advocate for other people. Like, what was that light bulb that went off to make you start doing that?
I think so. I hit an all-time low. How many years ago was it now? 3 or 4. And then I was like, who am I? Like, I'm more than just a wife, a mom, a scleroderma patient. But yet I felt like I was nothing. And then I spiraled until I finally was like, I need to do something about it. And then I connected with this life coach that I was following for a while, didn't know why, wasn't sure. And then I think it was like a year later where I just hit an all-time low. I had, you know, my type of rock bottom, and I was like, okay, I'm reaching out. I'm going to start and I'm going to contact her and see how it goes and take it from there. And then it was literally from session one, like that spiritual awakening that I needed to kind of like do the inner work. Like, it was the hardest type of treatment that I had to go through, but it was, I call it like that, like soul medicine. Cause if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have got to where I was at today, like that type of healing. And then, you know, through the work that I was doing, and clearing all the cobwebs and the bitterness and the denial and everything else, I reached to this point of, oh yeah, like I actually need to do this. I like doing this. This is my passion. This is what I'm meant to do. So I thought, you know, why not? And then I kind of wanted to tap into like life coaching. So I did that. I took a course on that. And being a group leader, a support group leader, I'm doing a course on that. And kind of just dabbled into so many different things. And I'll see where it brings me, right?
Yeah. And how did you become an advocate for Scleroderma Canada? Like, that's huge.
I think it was just when I started finally getting involved in doing the walks. I was kind of inconsistent, so I knew about it, but I wasn't too into it. And then again, social media wasn't that big. Scleroderma was even smaller then. And, you know, the walks were like maybe 50 people, 100 people. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is sad. I don't want to be a part of it. And then I kind of changed that around. And, you know, with the sessions I was doing with my life coach, I, you know, came up with this tagline and this merch, the Fuck Scleroderma merch. And I was like, okay, let me bring this to the walks. And it just was such an attention grab. And then I kind of found my niche, like where I fit in all of this and how I needed to kind of give it the attention that the world needed in order to see us, in order to want to know our stories. And that's kind of what I'm working towards now. Like, yes, you know, I have the merch out there, I have it on my website, and I'm doing all of these amazing things. There's still a lot of work to be done because it is still a rare disease and so many people don't even know how to say it, right? So, I don't know, there's just so much I can do with it and there's so much that I need to do because so many other people, they can't, like they physically just can't.
Yeah, 100%. And that the Fuck Scleroderma, what is so you, it's exactly the perfect representation of you. So it gets the attention and it needs the attention. You need to be loud for people to understand what it is. And it is such a rare disease. I was researching it and you have an incredible, incredible documentary on YouTube that just came out. And it's so weird because I've known you for a long time and it wasn't until the day or the night that you showed me that I was like, whoa, like I didn't understand. I thought I did from Google and the things you tell me, because you carry it so well that we hang out and it's like I forget that you're in constant pain and what you're going through, because you're just you, and you're the you I know, the you that feels no pain, that's just having a good time. When I watched that, I didn't cry in front of you because I was going to be, I had to be strong, but I cried in the car on the way home and I was like, I had no idea. So I'm so glad you did that, because me, who I know you, compared to people who know nothing about this, like it's so important. I can't wait for more people to see it. Like, how did you decide that that was the next step? Because it was such a good one, by the way.
I came up with this idea a long time ago. I wanted to call it like the faces of scleroderma. And, you know, I was like, this is something I needed to do, just because so many people live with this disease so differently. And everyone has a different story, right? Like I meet people at the walks and talk to them, or like now through Instagram, and have these like amazing stories to tell where I follow them and be inspired by them. And then I kind of sat with that for a while and it festered. And then I met Laura, and then through Laura, I met James, and then I was talking to him about it. And then he's like, oh, 100% we can do it. And it was going to obviously have to start with my story, because it was my idea and I have a story to tell. But like right now we're at the point where, yeah, let's tell my story and get the attention that it needs. So hopefully we can add to it and add other stories, right? That's the ultimate goal, is to make it a docu-series. And like you said, kind of showing, and that's just a piece of it, right? Like there's so much that a lot of people don't see, and people's attention spans, like really how long could it last? But that's just a piece of what we go through, me, my family, my friends, and what they see, right? And so it kind of had to be, yes, inspirational, but raw and honest too.
Yeah, it definitely is all of those things. It really, really is. Have you been getting a lot of like reactions like mine, like, whoa?
Yeah, it's been better than I could even, like the messages, the DMs that I get from other warriors that are like, thank you, you inspired, you know, my 16-year-old daughter to tell her story, or other people who are like, you know what, today I wasn't going to get out of bed, but this made me feel like I can, and I can fight, like things like that. Or I brought my kids to the dentist today, and the dentist's like, oh my God, somebody follows you in her office on Instagram. We all watched her documentary.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was dropping my kids off at their lesson, and then this lady walked out and said, oh my God, I saw your documentary. It was amazing. You inspire me. I was like, well, what is happening? Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. This is just like, it's pretty freaking awesome, only because people are actually getting something from it. You know what I mean? Like, they're inspired by it, and they know more about scleroderma, which is my goal, right? So it's been freaking awesome.
Yeah, and it's, I'm not gonna listen, lie. You toot your own horn anytime and every time you can, because you deserve it. You worked really, really hard, and you were so honest and open, and you wrote a song. We need to talk about the song, because it is so good, okay? Like, I listen to it all the time, but I feel like the whole world needs to hear it. It is so good, and you did that. Like, I'm so proud of you, because I remember you always liked singing. We've both always liked singing. We've always jammed together, yeah. But it takes a lot of courage to get in there and do what you did, and it's so good. It's fire.
Definitely do it one day, and you're going to do it one day, for sure.
We'll do a duet. Yeah. And we'll just put Laura in the front. So we sound super good.
Deal.
So if you can give any advice to anyone who's listening, it doesn't have to be a scleroderma warrior. It could be anyone who's living with an autoimmune disease or who's just down and out. What would you say?
I think I would say, give yourself time, but not too much time, to sit in your own shit for a little while. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs to kind of sit in their feelings, feel their feels, and flow. But then after, like, not too much time, I don't want to give a time frame, but I usually give myself 3 days to a week, depending on what's going on. And then I turn that, if it's fear or anger or whatever, I turn it into like, what's the lesson here? And then whenever something scares me, that becomes my fuel. That becomes, okay, I'm scared of this. I'm scared to face this. I'm scared to do this. I'm scared to see this. I need to look at that. And then I just take baby steps from there. And then as soon as you kind of just make one step in that direction, the universe just kind of supports every other move after that. And it's not easy, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, and I like that you said to give yourself 3, 5 days or whatever amount of time, because I hear all the time people say, just take a day. Like, if you're not doing well, just take a day. But let me tell you, 1 day is not enough, especially after the year we've been through. 1 day does nothing. Like, you need to take, like you said, 3 days, 5 days, a week, whatever it is. But you're right, not too much, because sometimes when I'm really down, I can be in a funk for a long time. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that I have kids, I probably could be in a funk for a month. But because you have that need, they need you, you need to get up and do your shit. You get through it faster. But there's some people out there that don't have that, and they can just dwell on it for a long time.
And there's different versions of it. Like, even if you take a step in the right direction, but still feel like depressed or, just bitter or angry, it's still okay. But, add something to your day to not sit in it too much, because then that just eats away at you, like, not just mentally, but like physically. Like, what the stress does to your body is just next level. And, when you kind of release yourself from that, like I did, I felt so much better when I started putting my feet in the grass and journaling and taking a few minutes out of my day. Like, people are like, meditation like scares me or intimidates me. There's no rules. Like, whatever. You're not breathing right. Who cares? Just put on Om for 5 minutes and tune out. You fall asleep. Great. You took a cat nap. There's so many rules out there. There's so many, like, if you're vegan, you have to be like this. And if you're, into yoga, it has to be exactly like this. And you have to breathe like that. Just do it the way you feel comfortable doing it. Because there's enough pressure in the world right now. Just do what feels good to you. And that's it.
100%. That is such good advice, girl.
Yay.
I really want to thank you so much for being the very first guest on my Anything But Simple Talk podcast. I think it's very, very clear that there's nothing simple about living with scleroderma, and there's nothing simple at all about you. And I also love your outlook on life and your ability to continue to inspire other people while you're being completely transparent about your experience and helping other people. And you inspire me, you truly do. I've known you from our party days to the in-between days, and honestly, you are an incredible human being, always on a mission, and I hope you stay forever on a mission. Don't ever get to the end, because I want you to continue that. I want you to continue being on a mission. I want to be 65, 80 years old and you're still on a mission. That's how I want to see
Still
you. And you can find Sylvia on Instagram, at the Autoimmune Slayer, and there you can find a link to her website, and you can show your support by donating to her team page to help support Scleroderma Ontario and find a cure for this disease. Well, there you have it, my very first episode on the Anything But Simple Talk podcast with Simply Susielicious. I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you continue to check it out. Share it with a friend, share it with a family member, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at Simply Susielicious. And remember, don't be ashamed to be anything but simple. The best people are.